Hello.
Right, great. Good morning, 11:30. Or is it good afternoon already? Can we put our hands together to just thank you, the team that has put together a wonderful Christmas gift? And other than acting, we also have some very talented carpenters in our midst. They actually built the manger from scratch. The manger in the middle. Yeah, totally DIY. So it's a blessing to be able to celebrate Christmas here with all of you here today at 11:30. And if you are new, once again, welcome. My name is Charlotte, and we are very happy to have you here with us. So today, as the skit talks about it, right, we were talking about a baby. Do you know that having a baby could both be a threat or a privilege? So, having a baby becomes a threat when the couple isn't ready to be parents. So it might be some unexpected pregnancy or maybe unhealthy baby, or even if the couple isn't ready to give up their old way of life. They're not ready to give up their comfort, freedom, and sometimes even their dreams to sacrifice to have the kid. So having a baby becomes a threat when the couple isn't ready to give up something that they are holding on to. You know, recently my aunt just told me that if you are not ready to sacrifice, then just don't have kids. Because she said parents, the word parents is spelt SACRIFICE. Not funny, eh? Thank you. Yeah, quite funny lah, quite funny. So having a baby can be a threat, but at the same time, it could also be a privilege. This is especially true for those who have been waiting for many, many, many years to get pregnant. So, I'd like to tell you a story. So, maybe these parents have been waited for so long that they're basically ready to give up whatever rights that they have of themselves to welcome this new life into their midst. Recently, a friend of mine in KL was just sharing his testimony. So, this is Dan and Kate Milest. Dan is one of the pastors in HTBB Church in KL. So for the past 10 years, they have been married, but they couldn't get pregnant for the 10 years that they're married. So after many years of praying and trying and praying again, and last year, they got pregnant. Not just with one baby, but two babies. So they got a twin baby girls. And this year in April, Clara and Cassia were born. They are just so adorable. Am I blocking your view? Can you see? You have to see. They're so cute. So Clara and Cassia, they were born this year, April. In my recent trip back to KL, I was just chatting with Kate about how does she manage to take care of the babies on her own without her family, because her families are not in KL. So how does she juggle with personal time and work and all of that stuff? So I asked if she get a helper or not. And she said that no, they are not planning to get a helper as of now, because after waiting for a whole 10 years, now she just want to soak up every little baby moments that she get. And it is, to her, it's a privilege. Because after waiting for so long, she's basically ready to give up whatever rights that she had of herself, whatever things that she's holding on to, and just to welcome this baby into her family. And because she thinks that it is such a privilege, she's just enjoying every moment of being a mother. Her entire motherhood becomes such a joy. So similarly, in today's story, we're going to talk about a baby called Jesus. But this is not exactly Jesus, lah. This is, yeah, you know, it's a baby. We're going to talk about Jesus, and we are faced with the same dilemma. So, is this baby Jesus a threat or a privilege? Let's take a look at our Bible passage for today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, for when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in the dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today's story is about a baby and a star. So what a star? A very bright star. A superstar. Like the street light. All right. So something way, way, way more phenomenal than the recent blood moon that we have seen. Not sure if some of you stayed up to watch the blood moon, but the star is something way greater than that. So the star can be so bright and so attractive that it could actually distract us, like in the skit. The lady was actually distracted by the star without realizing where the star was pointing to. The star was pointing to this newborn baby who can be both a threat and a privilege, not because he is a baby, but because he is a king, the baby king. And the search for this king is the reason for the meeting between the wise men and King Herod. A giant star signifying the birth of a king. This is such an eventful occasion. Of course, the wise men couldn't miss this out. So they traveled all the way from the east to Jerusalem to come and find out about this baby. These wise men are very smart people. They are probably astronomers, astrologers, you know, people who study the stars. So, which is why they could actually read the stars and follow it and eventually come to Bethlehem. Come to Jerusalem first and then to Bethlehem to ask King Herod about it. So why do they go to Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem if they were following the stars? Because Bethlehem is where the baby was born, right? Probably because Jerusalem is the religious city, and this is where the king's throne is. So if you want to find out about the newborn king, you go to the current king and ask him, right? I'm not so sure if it's a good or a bad idea. Because now that King Herod had found out about this baby, immediately he felt threatened. He felt that this baby is a threat to him because the wise man called him the king of the Jews. But in Herod's mind, he himself is supposed to be the king of the Jews because he is in charge of all the Jews, all the Jewish people. And what more, Herod is the one who is well known for rebuilding this Jewish temple, the Jerusalem temple, which is now often still referred to as Herod's temple. And now that Herod hears about this real king of the Jews, of course he felt threatened. Well, he probably knew that the king of the Jews is referring to the Christ, the Messiah, the person who had been prophesied in the scriptures to come and save his people, which is why he knew that this title doesn't properly belong to himself. And he felt threatened, obviously, because he isn't ready to give up his own throne to this newborn king. The arrival of another king means that his own kingship is threatened. His plan for royal succession is threatened. His kingdom is threatened. And it's as if somebody is coming to take over everything that he has built with his very own hands. And of course, he's definitely not ready to give that all up. So the kingship of this baby Jesus becomes a threat to King Herod because he isn't ready to give up his own throne. And today, does the kingship of Jesus becomes a threat to us as well? Does making Jesus our king sounds like a threatening idea to you? Well, to make Jesus our king is to allow him to rule in our hearts. That means to acknowledge Jesus as God. He knows us. His plan is better than our own plan. And to make Jesus our king is to let him take charge of our lives, to do what he asks us to do and to live the way that he teaches us to live. Does all this sounds like a threat to us? If they do, it might be because we are not totally ready to give up whatever that we are holding on to so tightly. It might be that we are not ready to give up our way of life, the comfortable, convenient, with occasional guilty pleasures way of life. The way of life that put ourselves first, what we want and what we feel. The way of life that ensures that we have control over our own lives, not anybody else. And we aren't ready to give that all up because, to be honest, we are pretty comfortable sitting in the throne of our own hearts because we are our own king. And if you haven't heard that yet, what happened after the wise men visited baby Jesus? They went on their own way to go back to their country without going back to Herod, right? And then the Bible says, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. So all the baby boys 2 years old and under were killed. And the only reason why Jesus, baby Jesus, is safe is because an angel appeared to Joseph and Mary and asked both of them to faster bring Jesus to Egypt to run away. So Herod basically gone mad. He became so furious. He felt so threatened by this baby that he went all out to have this baby killed. Because as long as Herod is on his throne, there could be no other place for another king. And as long as we are on our own throne, there will be no place for the rightful king in our hearts. So if you are thinking, then why do we need another king? Why can't we just be sitting comfortably in our own throne? Just wait and hold that thought. We'll get there in a while. So now, before that, let's turn our eyes back to the star. Oh, what a star. What a bright star. As King Herod stares at the star, feeling threatened by this baby king, the wise man was staring at that same star. But to the wise man, this king of the Jews is not a threat to their own glory or their wisdom or their wiseness or whatever that they have. Wiseness, wisdom, same. Okay, so these wise men, they don't feel threatened, but rather they feel that it's a privilege. This king of the Jews is a privilege to them. And that is why they are so ready to give up their all, their time, their energy, their effort, money, and even gifts and even worship. They give up their entire whatever that they have when they come and look for this baby king. And these wise men, as we have mentioned, they are probably marked with superior knowledge and ability. In this case, like they are astronomers, observing and interpreting the stars, following it all the way from the east. So where exactly is the east? Scholars think that it's probably today's Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia or Yemen. So this green area, that is where the east is. So they travel all the way by foot. I'm not sure if there's camels or donkeys because the Bible didn't say. But there's definitely no cars or flights. So they travel all the way from the green area to Jerusalem, the red color part. It's all right. Jerusalem. Yay. There. And then from Jerusalem, they go 5 miles down. 5 miles down to Bethlehem. So they travel all the way there by foot. Then this probably could have taken about a few months. A few months through the desert, following a star just to find a baby. Why are they so persistent? You know, I wonder if they actually felt like giving up halfway through the journey. Maybe it's so hard, then they don't know where it is. You know, in the morning, you cannot see the star. Then you don't know, hey, where is the star now? So I'm not sure if they, when they face hardships, do they feel like giving up? But perhaps this long journey of traveling, seeking, and waiting has helped them to reframe their mindset. Perhaps this long journey of traveling has helped them to see things from a different perspective and help them to grow and make them realize that as wise as they are, many times things are just not in their control. As smart as they are, sometimes they can only depend on God. Remember that question of, so why do we need another king? Why can't we just be sitting on our own throne? Because as smart as we are, many times things are just out of our control. And as wise as we are, sometimes we can only depend on God. And perhaps this long journey has made the wise men realize who truly is the rightful king who is in control. And it definitely is not themselves. Perhaps this is why when they finally saw the child, the baby, they fell down, literally head to the ground and worshipped him. Because this is a privilege. The king is a privilege to them. They have waited long enough to be ready to give up the throne of their hearts to the rightful king, Jesus Christ. So why is this king such a privilege to us? Because he is God? Because he is in control, even when we are out of control? And because he loves us. He loves us so much that he actually came to be born as a man and to die for us. He took upon himself our sins, our ugliness, our imperfection, our selfishness, pride, and all of that. He buried upon himself and took it to the cross and to die for us so that he could save us. And on the day that he died, the soldiers actually pinned a wooden wood on top of his head on the cross, written, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. The exact title that he was born with. He died with it. But on the third day, he rose to life from death. And that is why he could now give us life, a brand new life, a hope, and a chance to start all over again and to be reconciled to God. And this is the king that the wise men discovered as they followed the star. And this is the king that they gave up their all and traveled afar. This is the rightful king to the throne of their hearts, the king who is a privilege for them to fall down and to worship him, the king who is not a threat at all, but instead he is a very precious privilege. And that is the story of the baby and the star. So today, how about for you? Is this king a threat or a privilege to you? Now that you have seen and you have heard, are you ready to give up the throne to your heart and welcome the rightful king to come and take his place? I believe this invitation is for all of us here today. Whether or not we call ourselves Christians before, we might have given up this throne to the rightful king some point in our lives, maybe. But we just find ourselves slipping back into the throne so easily, living like we are our very own king. Maybe just enjoying the guilty pleasures a little bit more because our hearts want it. Or maybe just not giving our all to what God has called us because it might be so inconvenient and uncomfortable sometimes. And maybe drawing up boundaries of, this is where Jesus, you will rule, and this is where I will rule. You can be my king as long as you don't touch my area, this part of my life. But this is not how kingship works. Because as long as we are still on our throne, there will be no place for the rightful king to take his place. So this Christmas, God has given us the greatest gift of all, his very own son, born as a man, born to die for us. Are we also ready to give up our throne and welcome this king to come and take his place in our hearts? We could do that because we know that he's in control. We could do that because we know that he loves us. So how would it look like after we have invited this rightful king to come and sit on the throne of our hearts? Remember Dan and Kate, who had been waiting for 10 years to get pregnant? So this long journey of waiting had made them realize that as much as they could plan and try, but many times things are still out of their control. And sometimes they can only depend on God. And in the trying times of waiting, Dan shared that every month when they find out that they failed to have baby again, each and every month, rather than sitting and sulking at a corner, they actually choose to open up a champagne. So they basically open a new bottle of champagne every month to celebrate. And what are they celebrating? They celebrate that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He is still king. He still loves them and he is still in control. And this long-awaited 10 years had definitely been tough for them. But it had really made them ready. Ready to give up all the rights that they had of themselves. And ready also to give up the throne to their hearts. To know who is truly the rightful king who is in control. And it is Jesus Christ. Jesus becomes a privilege for them, as he can be for you too. Of course, this doesn't mean that after having Jesus on our throne, life will suddenly be a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that there will be no more misery, suffering, or uncertainties. But it does mean that there will be hope in misery. There will be comfort, even in suffering. And there will be purpose in uncertainties. Because in all of this, we will have the rightful king who loves us to hold us by our hand and to journey life with us. This rightful king who can give us hope, comfort and purpose in our life, both now and forevermore. Would you this Christmas consider this king a privilege and not a threat, and to give up the throne seat of your heart to the rightful king, Jesus Christ? Shall we now close our eyes and pray? If you feel like this message is for you, maybe it's speaking to you, and you are willing to take this step and consider this King Jesus Christ as a privilege and to give up the throne of your heart to him, as we pray together later, I'd like to invite you to maybe slowly open up the palm of your hands as a physical sign of giving up the throne to this King Jesus. Let us pray. Dear King Jesus Christ, thank you. For in your humility you came to be born on earth, to die, to rise again to save us from our sins. Thank you for being a God, for being a King, but still loving us. We are truly sorry for the wrongs that we have done. Sorry for the times that we have sinned against you and against other people. We no longer want to live like how we lived in the past. We no longer want to be our own kings. Please come. Please come and take your rightful throne in our hearts. And come. Be the king of our lives. For our life belongs to you. And in you we'll have hope and have life, everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.